Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service. Real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Arch, I'm Scott Jagow, KMOX News.
Now, at your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thanks, Scott, for the update on the news. Yes, thank you for stopping by. We'll be taking a good gardening stroll shortly, but right now, if you have any questions, concerns, or comments about your plant material, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. This is Saturday morning, and we get together and have a discussion about what's impacting your yard, whether it's front, side, back, whether that was that specialty garden space that you developed and we're going to make it into an herb garden and just didn't work so well because you didn't make it so it drained really well. And how about the houseplants? Are you getting ready to get them inside? Well, it is getting very near the end of September, so you should probably get them in before too long, before the end of October for sure. So before Halloween. And what is potting mix, by the way? And how do you improve your soil? And should you be pruning this time of year? And how about that boxwood? Should you prune it now? Or that barberry? Ooh, I just hate to prune that barberry because it has all those thorns on it. And hopefully, to make good decisions, I'll share my thoughts with you. But you'll solidify your options with the final judgment of the action you're going to take is going to be on your shoulders. And by the way, this is your show, and I appreciate you inviting me into your home, car, or wherever you happen to be listening. Another very important player is Ethan. Ethan's producing today. First time ever for doing the Garden Hotline. And he's growing, obviously. I mean, that's what this show's all about. I'm Mike Miller. I've been hosting the Garden Hotline since 1994. And I can come to your home and do a landscape consultation. And if you'd like for me to come, you can go to my website, get my phone number, because I still don't, I'm angry as heck, but I don't have any internet connection, except I do have some emails and all that other stuff that my wife's tablet, we go after it that way. But anyway, today after the show, I'm headed down to Oakville. So let's get moving. Today's stroll is brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Keeping with tradition, the first Saturday after a seasonal change, as you know, last Thursday was the first day of fall. I take a tour de my yard. And, last Wednesday, it was like 98 degrees. It was unbelievable. The next day, it was like, oh, my gosh, it was in the 60s. I'm surprised I'm still alive with that kind of, you know, temperature change and everything else. Well, starting on the east side of my house, which is basically where the garage slash alley is, and I have a bed running along the garage, and the alley is milkweed and purple coneflower. And they've both finished flowering probably over a month ago for sure. And now, so they have seed heads, they're there. And probably I'll leave them another couple weeks because the finches like the, especially the purple coneflower. But then I'm going to go ahead and cut them back, and I'll probably leave some of the seed heads and just get some more plants. And what I do is I sneak around the neighborhood and I plant some of them that have germinated into the park and places like that to see what happens. Also in there, I don't know how this got in there, but bindweed is in there. So when I start cutting back my purple coneflowers and milkweed, I'm going to start finding out where the bindweed's coming from, is whiny and twining and everything else, and I'm going to be digging that out as well. In the backyard, there's our lawn and patio and a collection of potted plants. Potted plants include castor beans, elephant ears, cannas, and then a trellis that's filled with moonflowers. We have had a spectacular show of moonflowers this year, and I do like gazing balls, so a couple of gazing balls in the backyard. I do have lights in them, so at night about 8 o'clock or 8:30 or so, the lights come on and stay on for a couple hours. And then I also have a couple window boxes of juniper seedlings. And these are seedlings that I've dug up out of my yard, and they've been planted by bird dropping. So in other words, the birds are eating the juniper blueberries, then coming and hanging around my yard, and then going to the bathroom, and then there's a seedling. Actually, there's been a couple pine trees, too, so I don't know exactly how the pines happen. On the north side of the house, there's a mugo pine, boxwood, a false cypress, interplanted with purple coral bells, hosta, Japanese painted fern, and sedum acri, as well as creeping jenny, or what I call yellow moneywort. And between the sidewalk and street, there's some sweet alyssum along with some sedum acri, and that makes it kind of a nice touch. There's pots at the doorways. We've got both of the doorways of our house on that side of the house, and there's going to be things from cannas to exotic begonias, elephant ears, wandering Jews, which is Tradus cantia, and purple wandering Jews, as well as the ones that have the kind of the silvery stripe to them. And this year we've really planted quite a few, which I didn't realize that they were hardy, canna lilies. So I'm going to give them a shot and see what happens with them. Also, there's going to be more cannas and elephant ears and some tropical sedum. That's going to be on the front of the house, and that's the part that faces Christie Park. And what I'm doing this year for the first time, I'm going to be experimental because the elephant ears just keep going and going and multiplying and multiplying. And I have a lot of them, so I planted several along the street, and I planted several between my house and Pam's house, our neighbor. And I want them gonna, I'm just going to leave them in the ground. I'm going to mulch them and see if they can survive the wintertime because through the neighborhood, there's been quite a few yards that have had cannas that have survived the wintertime. I still don't leave my cannas out. I have them in pots. I just pull them up out of the ground. But I want to fool around with these elephant ears because I really have a herd of elephants with all of them. They're just all over the place. And when I pull them out of the pots and shake all the potting mix off and cut the leaves off and put them in paper bags and bring them in the basement, it's getting to be a lot of bags to carry in the basement. And the three maple trees, which are our street trees, the sugar maples, the one is already starting to turn color pretty early for me. And that's the one that actually has been root pruned by Spire. So when Spire needed to do a new gas line for us, they had to dig probably diminished or demolished, whichever you want to call it. A major amount of the root system, and there's been some branches that have died off and everything else, but also it's still a little bit under stress, and it's already coloring and dropping quite a few leaves. So, boy, this has just been quite a wild summertime, some spectacular shows by various plants and some that just didn't really do very well at all. As you may have remembered, a couple weeks ago I talked about I had some morning glories, and the morning glory vines really did well. They filled the trellises up, so I couldn't wait for the flowers. Never did see a flower. So finally, I've cut those things off. So anyway, this is declaring fall is here, and the leaves are falling, so it is falling season. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages. Yes, folks, I was glad to see some lightning and some rain the other night. We've had some stretches of pretty dry weather, and then we've had some that have really got things really soggy. But lately it's been on the dry side. But when there's a lightning storm, or lightning associated with the rain, that's when we is to the advantage of the plant material because it breaks up the nitrogen nutrients in the water. And then it'll come down in the rain and stay down in the ground, on the ground, on the plant material for a couple days before it becomes a gas and heads back upstairs into the sky again. So lightning is just fantastic. I was looking out the window. Most of the lightning I saw wasn't over our head, but it was just to the east of us, and it was still it was nice to go out the next morning after that rain and see everything looking so clear. It only rained about 45 minutes or so. It started at 7 and ended at 7:45, so it was kind of like, wow, is this some kind of irrigation system or something? Yes, natural irrigation. Well, let's head over to Sue's yard. Hi, Sue. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you today?
Very good.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My sweet daughter-in-law, we were just talking yesterday, has a beautiful lilac bush that has just bloomed. It's just been beautiful, but through the wind and all, and she doesn't really know what variety it is, but it's when it's standing upright, I'm saying it could almost hit 5 foot. It's only about 2 years old, but now it's got a branch that has split in the middle even. We were wondering how to prune this. We're kind of green on lilac bushes. Could you help us?
Basically, lilacs are a plant that like an alkaline soil. So in other words, they don't have any problems being next to concrete, a foundation, or anything like that. But understand that it might be 5 feet tall now, but ultimately, if it's a classic lilac, it can get pretty big, you know, up to 10 feet high. And it's a sucker grower, so it's going to send out all kinds of stems. Now, any kind of branching or anything that's broken or split, that should just be cut off as close to the ground as you possibly can.
Okay.
And just the lilacs, since they're spring bloomers, and this is true of any spring bloomer, that you just don't prune them in the fall because the flower buds are set for the following spring. So whether mm-hmm. it's a dogwood, whether it's a lilac, no matter what it is. And mm-hmm. Just for the most part, they don't really need a whole lot of fertilization or anything. And they don't like a lot of water. So just be really careful and make sure when you plant them, the top of the root ball is above the surrounding ground. And then consequently, if there's any kind of settling at all when it is after it's planted, it won't end with a depression around it, because that means water could sit there and that could do some damage to the root system.
Okay. Well, it's close to concrete because it's kind of like the double garage doors, you know, and then you walk out and there's the concrete driveway. And bless her heart, she didn't realize. She just kind of stuck it in the ground. Oh, I've got a lilac bush, you know. And it's just been gorgeous, but now it's even drooping down. It just looks kind of pitiful. So we don't want to trim it back at all right now, right?
Correct. Don't trim it. And now you say if it's really close to a walkway or something, you realize it's going to start, causing problems for the sidewalk and things like that as time goes on.
Oh, my. Well, she, you know, like I said, we were just kind of green about all these and didn't realize. So basically leave it alone, I guess, and kind of see where we go.
Well, you could do that, or this is a good time of year to transplant. So since it's only been in the ground for a short period of time, cut off any of the damaged stuff and then move it to a location where it can actually become a real lilac with capital L's. So as opposed to leaving it in that space, because if it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, then the transplanting is going to be harder and more difficult than that.
Okay, well, I'll suggest that, and we'll see where we go.
Right.
Thank you so much for your information.
Sure, my pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
You too. And we do have phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Ethan's anxious to answer the phone, so more so than anything else. And when you call, all he needs is your first name. He doesn't need anything else from you, not your zodiac sign or anything like that. Anyways, there's summer bulbs, their dahlias, your elephant ears, your cannas, your gladiolus, your caladiums. The days are getting shorter, whether it's really obvious or not. I'm sure it is starting to feel obvious that you're going to see the foliage on the summer bulbs start to go downhill a little bit quicker. Not for the entire plant, but just some of the some of the older foliage is going to start going downhill, and you're going to end up with, potentially stalks and just leaves at the very top. And some of them will not flower any longer, like the gladiolas are finished flowering. The cannas will flower a little bit more. The caladiums and the elephant ears are really not flowering plants. They're grown for the foliage. So just realize that this is kind of the end of the season for the summer bulbs, as opposed to the winter bulbs or springtime bulbs. So the daffodils and tulips and things like that, you can purchase them, and we're just about at the time when you can start planting them, but it might be a little bit early to plant, so just understand that. And just be, with your tulips and daffodils and things like that, you want the area that you're planting them in to be very well drained. Also, you want to make sure that well-drained and they're at the proper depth. So basically with the daffodils and tulips, you want them about 4 to 6 inches below the surface, whether you grow them. I grow mine in pots. This year I'm not going to be able to because of some complications I've had. But I've gone through Brightside St. Louis for years and gotten the tulips from them. And this year I'm just not really able to. So, probably what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a lot of crocus. I haven't grown crocus for several years, and I'm going to be planting the crocus. Now, crocus are smaller bulbs, so consequently they don't go as deep into the ground as the tulips and daffodils do. So let's head now over to Bill's yard. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. This is Bill from Belleville.
Great. How are you?
Doing quite well. I guess not too many callers right now, huh?
I
didn't have to wait. I have a pretty good sized hill in the backyard, and every year I struggle with aerating and overseeding. And actually, last year I put in compost, kind of got a couple of yards and with a wheelbarrow and spread a whole bunch of the St. Louis compost. I think it's called black gold or something like that.
Right.
And went everywhere with it because the ground is pretty hard with clay here in Belleville, and it's not really a great dirt. So anyway, and maybe I put too much on, but my front yard was, it was one of the worst years for an attractive lawn in a long time. And I don't know if I put too much compost on, can a person use too much?
Yeah, basically what you, with compost on in a lawn area, you're doing something called top dressing. And that means you're putting down about any place between a quarter to a half inch. So it doesn't mean that it's going to, if your lawn was in great shape and then it went downhill, too much compost or too much any kind of organic matter could send it downhill. So did you core aerate before you did the composting?
Last year was not any aeration. This year I will be aerating.
Okay. So you can do the aeration first, and then you can put the seed, seed down after that, and there's a light top dressing, quarter to a half inch of compost on top of that. Ooh, looks like he hung up. Yeah, okay, now let's go over to Tom's yard. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We have some Ito peonies in our garden, and we would like to know when the best time is to transplant them.
Probably ASAP would be the best time to do it.
So okay.
As the foliage has gone downhill, I'm sure it's probably leaning over and everything. Just cut the foliage off, dig the entire root system up if you're going to transplant the entire plant, and mm-hmm. leave it sit above the ground for a day or so. That just kind of softens the root system because they're really brittle when you first dig them up. And that that will reduce the amount of any kind of breakage of the root system when you transplant it. And just have the new location ready to go. Full sun is by far the best.
Right. We have about seven of them, and one is not getting enough sun. So that's the one we want to move.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Yep, you got about through the month of October to get them moved. And the reason why transplanting this time of year is good because the ground is warm. That will encourage new root system growth, and then that's what the plant wants, and it gets to go to sleep for wintertime. So good luck with
Perfect.
That.
I've got my gardening shoes on. I'll prep the hole this morning. Thanks.
All right, sounds perfect.
Bye-bye.
Yep. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Back after these messages.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the Battery Doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
KMOX is Cardinals Radio.
It's the Cards and Dodgers tonight. Ameren Pregame Show 7:15. First pitch 8:10. Hear the game on KMOX and streaming on KMOX.com.
Doc Vaughn. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Bob's yard. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi.
I had a soil test done, and I need lime and I need potassium. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm thinking next year, because my lawn is nothing but weeds. I have no grass at all. So I'm thinking about putting Zoysia soil, or not soil, Zoysia
sod
down. Yeah. Is that okay for that, or how do I go about Zoysia, and when is the best time to put the sod down?
Well, with Zoysia, since it's warm season grass, I would not put it down going into wintertime because the root system's not going to get established probably enough, and if we have a severe, even just a few days in the wintertime, it's gone. And realize that you're going to have to prepare that soil before you lay the sod down, so you can't just lay the sod down on the whatever you have growing there now. So this is going to be a long, involved process. This is not going to be something that's just going to be instantaneous. So you're going to have to get the existing weed at least partly under control. You're not going to get them under control 100% by any means. That's going to be impossible. But just realize that if you can get the majority of them killed off, get the soil prepared with the, I want to say rototilling, but that's going to be the best thing you can do, and then lay the sod down on top of that.
Yeah, well, that's quite expensive to do all that.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to kill the weeds off, and then they said what I'm thinking is they're going to come in and with a sod cutter and get some of the old junk off of there.
Right, and then they can, but still, you should at least heavily rake this, the area. So the sod can have a chance, and you're going to do the Zoysia. Probably it'll be available first time next year. It's going to be weather dependent, but sometime mid to late April, early May is going to be the first calendar date you're going to be able to get Zoysia sod.
Okay, so the lime and the potassium is okay for zoysia, then that's fine.
Right. Well, when they said you need lime, what was your soil pH?
Well, they said I need 50 pounds of lime for 1,000 square feet.
I was just curious because, I mean, they didn't tell you what your soil pH was, huh?
Yeah, but I
don't remember.
It's on the phone, and I'm talking on the phone, and I... Yeah, and then they said a potassium is 1/2 pound per 1,000 square feet.
Yeah, because potassium is one of the nutrients that stays in the soil for a long period of time. But if this is a company that does the soil testing, then yes.
No, it's the University of Missouri at Extension.
Oh, okay, perfect. Then that's a, you know, go ahead and follow their instructions.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Yep, it's going to be a lot of work. There's no getting around it. And just realize Zoysia is, you know, when winter comes around, Zoysia turns tan.
No, yeah, I know that. But I just haven't had any luck with fescue at all.
Lawn is tough here. And a good example, a good example of that is just remember last week on Wednesday it was 98 degrees, and then on Thursday it was 60 degrees. So
weather
fluctuations is tough on plants. So good luck, Bob.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Sure. And now let's see. Where should we go? Let's go over to Joyce's yard. Hi, Joyce.
Good morning. How you doing?
Very good.
What I want to ask is a couple questions. I have knockout roses on the side of my house, but they're not getting that much sun. Since we had so much rain last night, can I dig them up and try to save them and put them in another spot?
If you have the other spot, you know, ready, but if you dig them up and just, you know, you don't have a new location kind of prepared.
I got the new location. I mean, I have the new location I want to put them in.
Okay.
I'm just trying to see. One time I did it and put them in a pot and they came right on back, but, you know, it's just not getting enough sun.
Right.
It's sun there about a couple of hours and it come, you know, and one side on my other side I get a plenty sun, but I'm just gonna try to move since the ground is so wet today, this morning.
Right. You must have had a lot of rain because we didn't really get that much rain last night.
Oh, we rained. It rained all day. I'm in Delwood. It rained all day yesterday.
Really?
It rained out in St. Peter's when I was out there too, but not as hard. It rained all day. It rained all the way up to about 7 o'clock last night, about 6 or 7.
The problem with, you know, transplanting when the ground is really wet is when you put the soil back in around, you know, the plants that you're transplanting, this being roses, there's going to be clumps of soil, and those clumps are not going to, you know, blend together really well, and then you're going to end up with air pockets in there, and that's going to allow air to get down there and dehydrate the root system. So just be really cautious and really water them well for the first 2 weeks or so after they are in the ground.
You know, kind of yard I got, I have to water every day. I got a $200 water bill right now.
Whoa.
I have it every year. That's how big, how much plant. My backyard is just big. You know, and I got stuff going all the way around. Hydrangeas, roses, flowers. I got flowers in the tree. And it's a job, but I like it.
Great.
You know, I've been doing it for 20 years, though. I do this something every year, and I got my fun food. But anyway, the next question I want to ask you about the grass seed. When is a good time to put down the grass seed?
Pretty much just right now. So basically from the end of August all the way through mid to late October, depending upon what, you know, the weather is that year, because again, the ground is warm, that'll trigger the root system or the germination of the grass seed. So fall is by far the best time to put grass seed down. And if you're not going to do anything else like core aeration, composting or anything else, at least get some seed starter fertilizer when you put the seed down.
So would I need to fertilize it first?
No, you fertilize after you put the seed down.
Okay. Do I have to water every day?
For the first couple of weeks, yes.
I thought you didn't have to water.
No. You should, because if you don't, what will happen is the seed could germinate, and then if we have a couple or several days of dryness, the seed root system is not well enough established into the ground that it's not going to be able to withstand dry circumstances. So that's why for the first 2 weeks after you put the seed down, you should really plan on watering.
Well, I didn't water last year, and it came up good. The sun wasn't, the heat what got my grass, you know.
Right.
And then they can use some of that weed and feed, and those spots are still there. So I was going to put some good dirt there that I seen in Home Depot that you grass, and, you know, got the seeds and got everything in it. But I was just trying to see, because I have to pay this bill down. But I'd be prepared for it because I pay extra money on my water bill every month. So I have, you know, yeah, I do that.
Great.
I'm that type of person, you know. But anyway, I think your show is really good. I just want to know about those knockout roses. Okay, what I was going to do, after I got the knockout roses up, I want to put my hydrangeas there. They'll do good there. So can I put these three hydrangeas there, or shall I wait before when I take the knockouts out?
Oh, you definitely wait until you get one thing done before you do to the next. So, well, thanks, Joyce. Greatly appreciate you and your call and everything else. Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
We've got a little bit of time for the show. We got some phone lines open, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's head over to Jan Jard. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Mike. I have got some 50-year-old white spirea bushes, and they're getting yellow spots on the leaves, and they're very dense on the bottom. So I've been wanting to thin them out. Can I do that at this time of the year? And I was going to maybe fertilize, too.
Fertilize bushes. I would not do going into wintertime. But pruning-wise, are these espireas that bloom in the springtime?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you prune them now, then you're just eliminating the flowers for next spring. So if that doesn't really matter to you, it's an aesthetic call, you can go ahead and go and prune, or you can just wait till next spring and do the pruning at that time, after they finish flowering.
Well, I was thinking thinning, because there's so many, they look like sticks coming out of the ground. I was just going to take out some of the sticks. Looking things, and not trim them down yet, but just thin them.
Okay. And so the sticks that are coming up out of the ground, they don't have any foliage or any flower bud potential or anything?
Well, those are the ones I want to take out, yes.
So
can I do that now?
Yeah, you can. You just don't, you won't have any flowers, you know, on those things that you're removing. So that's fine.
And how far down should I cut them?
How tall are they?
Oh, 8-10 feet.
That's pretty big for spirea. Yeah, I would cut them back at least 50%, if not a little bit more.
Oh, wow. Okay. One other question. Have you heard of putting red paper for moles, putting those red pepper flakes in their tunnels to try to get rid of them? Have you heard of this one?
That works a little bit, but it's, you know, it's an iffy kind of thing. Because just because the tunnel's there doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be using that same tunnel.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I mean, you can try it and see what you know. It's not going to, all it's going to do in theory is move them to a different tunnel. So whether they have to dig a new one or not. So it's not like it's going to say, get out of my yard. It's not going to do that.
Okay, and don't fertilize my spireas till the spring.
Yeah, don't fertilize going into wintertime. That's not a good thing to do. Because that, what that does is prevent any kind of plant material from, like, heading to sleep. And that's what dormancy of the wintertime is all about. And the fertilizing can prevent that. And then we get a cold snap, and then your plants are really damaged.
Okay. Thanks for your help.
Sure. And now let's head over to Reese's yard. Hi, Reese. Hello? You there, Reese?
Hi, Mike.
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm core aerate my yard and want to know if I should top dress it with sand first or just topsoil.
Yeah, don't do sand. Sand is not a good thing to use because, you know, historically this entire region has a lot of clay soil, and guess what? Sand and clay together make bricks. So that's not something you want to top dress with.
Very good. Thank you.
Sure. My pleasure. And now let's go to Diana's. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Mike. I want to know how you get rid of trumpet vine.
Can you see where it's coming up out of the ground, or is it coming up in the neighbor's yard?
It's coming up on my privacy fence, and it's yay high. And, you know, it's prolific.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's extremely invasive. And basically what you should do is find out, and it might be a little bit too late this year because of, you know, we're getting near the end of the growing season. But find out where it's coming up out of the ground, cut it off at about 2 feet high, and then after you cut it at a 45-degree angle, and then get Roundup for killing woody plants / poison ivy and paint it right on that open wound where you cut. And then that should, you know, at least start it downhill, depending upon how big the trunk is. It may take a couple applications to finally get rid of it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's, like I say, covers a widespread area.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike.
Yeah, it's extremely invasive. The other option is to try to dig it out, and that is a heck of a lot of work. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right, right. Because the length of the height of the plant is about the height of the root system.
Right. And so, so you know, that's why I'm saying just, you know, when it's where it's coming up out of the ground at about 2 feet, you know, cut it off at a 45-degree angle.
And use Roundup woody plant killing product.
Yeah, don't use regular Roundup because it won't work.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. And Art, can you do it kind of quick?
Yeah, I was going to say, as a 93-year-old birthday present, you're probably the best information radio program. Bob Hardy and Rex Davis said, why don't they advocate Silent Spring by Rachel Carson as reading material for these young people that are having problems with their reading? Are you there? And now my question is this. I put down 20 saplings. Some of the roots were long. I spread them out into the soil, but they say that instead of bending the long roots, you should cut them back. Now, with respect to this clay loose soils that have problems with permeation and penetration of soils of water, why do you advocate more the rainwater rather than tap? To me, that tap water is more of a problem with leaching, with problems of penetration, and with the subsoiling, and all the other rest of the story with respect to the health of the soil, the plant. Compost is the soil. And you can't do any better.
Great to share time with you.
At your service. Welcome to the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Thank you, Scott. And by the way, this is the second hour of the Garden Hotline, which is the tip of the trowel hour. And I'll be giving the tip of the trowel shortly. But right now, if you have questions, concerns, or comments about any of your plant material, your lawn, trees, shrubs, whatever, just give us a call, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Or maybe you have some ideas, some questions, concerns, or comments. Speaking of comments or ideas, I don't know, there's a golf tournament on right now. It was live, so it's United States versus the international golfers. And last week I was talking about zoysia, and when you cut it too close, the zoysia is not the best thing that you could possibly do. And a caller called in and said, well, what about all these golf courses that they're cutting, you know, their zoysias and Bermudas really close? Well, this golf tournament, I don't know where it is or anything else, but the color of the zoysia / Bermuda doesn't look so good. So it's cut really close. And that's what golf courses do. And that's a good example of, you think, well, maybe this would be the best way to go, but I'm not saying I know everything, but I know everything. No, I don't know everything. Anyway, we can, thanks for having me on your show. We can discuss plant selection, caring for ups and downs and all arounds to annuals. The thing that is a little disappointing for me this year is the amount of pansies. I was out looking for pansies the other day. I saw some in hanging baskets, but I haven't seen them just in six packs or anything like that, so it's a little bit surprising. Are your bulbs, your summer bulbs versus your spring blooming bulbs, totally different plant materials? Your edibles, cool season type stuff. This is lettuce season, broccoli, cauliflower, all that other stuff. Your ground covers, your house plants, your lawn, your roses, perennials, roses, perennials and roses, shrubs, trees, vines, water gardens. I'll share my thoughts, but please remember my answers, comments, and opinions is not the only garden path to take towards success, but strictly offered for you to consider. And across the big board, there's Ethan. He's producing. So when you call, he will answer the phone. He just needs your first name, and then he'll put it into the computer, and then it comes over to me on the screen. Wow, amazing. I do landscape consulting, which I call a walk and talk. You can go to my website, find my phone number, and give me a phone and give me a call, and I'll schedule a time. This past week, I was at Bridgeton, kind of a neat house in Bridgeton, and then today after the show, I'm headed to Oakville. So I kind of go all over the metropolitan area. And I do cluster appointments according to location so I can minimize my time on the road. Tip of the Trowel is a special recognition for individual, group, or situation that's made an impression on me, and it's brought to you by St. Louis Composting, 636-861-3344. Tip of the Trowel goes out to the people in the city of St. Louis, the mowers, they cut the park grasses and stuff. I mean, it is amazing. Living right across the street from Christie Park, watching them, there are so many trees and so many things they have to go around and everything else. They do a tremendous job. It's absolutely amazing, you know, because, I mean, they got the tractor. They've got probably 72-inch wide, you know, double or triple mower blade circumstance. And so a tip of the trowel goes out to all the people that cut the grasses in all the city parks or county parks or wherever it happens to be. Just that is a lot of work. It's not an easy job to do. And they very conscientious. They don't run into the trees. They don't do damage to the barks or the trunks or anything else. So that's perfect. So anyway, if you do have any questions, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Let's get a call or two before we go to a break. Let's go to Tom's yard. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Very good.
Hey, a couple questions. One, I have a tree that's one of the first trees that will come out in the springtime, and it has a little yellow bud on it. Last year, I had trimmed off some dead branches, and this year, when it came back, the leaves weren't as dense. And I didn't know if there's anything that I could put on it to nurture it, to see if I can, you know, get more leaves on it.
Basically, the reason probably there's less leaves is because you cut some branches off, would be my assumption. So
no, they're just a lot less of them. I mean, there's still a bunch of branches on the tree with leaves, but it's just they're not as full. It's like it got shocked, and they just haven't come back as full.
Well, what you could do is
one guy told me to put some mulch on it, but I don't know. Well, what do you think?
Well, you could put mulch on it. I mean, that's not necessarily all that's going to do is ultimately the mulch is going to break down and, you know, enrich the soil. But what you could do now is something called deep root feeding. And you go out like from where the trunk is halfway out to the drip line of the tree. So in other words, the extension of the branches. Then you get an electric drill with an earth auger, which is a drill bit in 1-inch diameter, and start augering holes in a circle all the way around the trunk. And then go down about 6 or 8 inches and backfill each one of those holes with compost. So in other words, you're feeding the soil, and the soil is how the plants really get, you know, fed. So mulch is not going to do anything. And then you go out another foot or so and then do another circle and another foot and go slightly beyond the drip line of what the tree is. And then that should be, you know, deep root feeding is the best way to feed trees because you're indirectly feeding them by feeding the soil.
Okay. The other question I have is that I transplanted some forever summers and at the beginning of the spring, and they're healthy, but the problem is that it faces northwest, and so it just gets hammered in the afternoon with sun, and it's just not a good spot for them. So, and they're probably a little bit bigger than if you were to go and buy them at any nursery in the springtime. So they're not little, but they're not huge. I was going to move those out of there, but I was wondering a suggestion of a flowering bush that isn't going to get huge. Because I'm trying to corner off that spot for my landscaping, kind of cornered off.
So you're taking the hydrangeas out and you're trying to put something else in there that can take this hot intense sun. Maybe take a look at a shrub called Nandina, N-A-N-D-I-N-A, Nandina domestica, or heavenly bamboo is a common name of it. Has colorful leaves, will only get about 3 to 4 feet high at the most, and it kind of has an open habit. It will flower, and then the flowers are followed by small buried fruit.
Okay. And is this a good time, maybe in the next 2-3 weeks, to start transplanting those hydrangeas in the different areas?
Yeah, you better get it. Yeah, get it done before the end of October.
Okay. Well, I broke my hand, so they say I got about 2 weeks. So, I can't dig yet. So I was just thinking, oh man, that's the farthest out I could go. So, okay, all right. Well, thanks, Mike. I really appreciate the info, and I really enjoy listening to your show.
Well,
have a good day.
Well, thanks for having me on your show, Mike Miller, KMOX Garden Hotline. Back after these messages. Here we go, and let's go over to Christina's. Hi, Christina.
Hi there, Mike. Hi. This is my first call. I'm glad I got through. Could you tell me, I'm a beginner gardener, but I have a mother-in-law's tongue in a planter, and it seems the first time it's nice and strong. What should I do with it now? I don't have a garage or anything to put it in, or house type.
So you can't bring it inside at all?
Well, yeah, I could. I have not much light. There's just a crack in one window. Would that do it, or?
They're pretty tough and durable, so they can handle a pretty low light situation.
I
would certainly give it a try. I don't know what size pot it's in. It doesn't need to be in a very large pot.
And no, it's not.
Yeah, during the wintertime, don't overwater it. Let it have a tendency to, when you look down inside the pot, that the potting mix is shrinking away from the inside of the pot, then water it, and then don't water it again. So you're probably going to be watering it about maybe once every 4 to 6 weeks through the entire wintertime.
Oh, okay. So does that trick with putting your finger inside the pot and feeling the soil, does that work or not really?
No, I was... I think visually is better than try to... Well,
yeah,
I don't know if this feels wet or not. If it feels wet, then definitely don't do it.
Don't water it, right. Okay, and then this other plant that, oh gosh, now my brain went dead. It's forever green, and they're real shiny leaves on there.
Could be a gardenia.
No, it's not. I wish, but no. Gosh, I'm sorry. It grows in long stems, and if it's healthy, it has those shiny leaves. Every other, whatever.
It could be Schefflera. You know, it's tough to know without. But most plants, other than the mother-in-law's tongue, really need a pretty bright light during the wintertime.
Okay, everything else, yeah. I just have a crack in the window. Oh, the other thing is the outside shrubs. You said it's wait till spring to trim back. They're getting big and tall and bushy, so it's too late to trim those, right?
Well, it's only the ones that bloom in the springtime that I say don't prune this time of year. If they're summer bloomers like crepe myrtle or something along that line, you can prune them now.
Okay, but no, I'm sorry. This is boxwood.
Okay,
that's what it is. Is it okay to trim those back or not really? It's really healthy. Tall.
I would say maybe wait till we come out of wintertime. And the only reason I'm saying that is because boxwood are tough. You could probably prune it. Everything can be okay. But sometimes if you prune it, in the fall, and we have a severe cold snap, it could do some damage because the tips that were not exposed before, because you cut off the tips that were as protection, are no longer there. So that's where the trouble comes.
Can I ask you, as I understand it, you do make, as they say, house calls, or do you have a schedule or some place that you visit? I have sight problems, so I'm at an end of my, look and see type thing. Do you have such a schedule that you might come out and at least verbally suggest something?
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly do that. Just go to my website, Mike Miller Designs.
Forgive me, I don't have a computer, and I couldn't see even if I had one.
Well,
is there something you could mail me with your schedule or price, cost of a visit or something?
It's a little difficult to do that because we've got a lot of callers and everything else, so Christina, just good luck with your plant material
and
everything else.
Thank you for your help.
Sure. Let's go over to Marjorie's. Hi, Marjorie.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi.
I have, for the first time, I believe they're called astermarins, and I want to know, I planted them out by the street, that city part, between the street and the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, do I cut them back? I thought I was buying a summer flower, but actually it indicates that they're a fall bloomer.
Right. So what you can do is you can wait until they finish flowering, and then you can cut them back at that time, cut them back to about 4 to 6 inches, or you can just leave them alone. So it doesn't hurt to leave them alone, because the new growth probably won't emerge off the stems that are existing. The new growth for next year is going to come up out of the root system.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
I like your show.
Well, thanks for having me on your show. And now let's go over to Donna's yard. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
So my question is, when I bring my plants in for the winter, what do you do about how do you keep the little bugs and the gnats from coming out of dirt?
Well, I use insecticidal soap. And I use the insecticidal soap. I start for a couple weeks before I'm going to bring them inside. Spray the underside of the foliage, spray on top of the foliage, spray the stems. And for gnats and things like that, I mix up some insecticidal soap and actually pour it on the potting mix to try to kill any kind of eggs or anything that's right there on the soil surface.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Sure. But just stay consistent, for a couple of weeks before you bring it in, because a lot of times if you just do it once, you're not going to get rid of the entire problem. Then you're going to be fighting gnats inside or whatever else it happens to be. So.
Right. When is the best time to bring them in so you don't shock them?
Really, any time, during the month of October should be fine. And when you bring them in, don't put them where the furnace vent is going to be blowing right down on top of them.
Well, I have a blue light I put them under.
Oh, well, that's perfect then.
So, okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I bring mine in and put them into the basement where I have some grow lights growing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to plug in my grow lights. Actually, today I'll probably do it just to make sure that everything's okay with them. And then probably within the next week or two, then I'll bring them inside.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
Sure. And now let's head over to Carol's yard. Hi, Carol.
Well, good morning.
Hi.
Hi. You were talking about the pansies and you couldn't find them.
Right.
Barbecue Gardens in St. Charles on Randolph Street, right across the street from Blanket Park.
Oh, really? So they got,
the six-pack. They grow them themselves, yep, and they've got many, many plants for you to put together. It's very well worth going out to see what they have. It's a big company. They've been there for about 85 years.
Whoa.
So, yeah. And you've been there because I met you there.
How could you possibly remember that?
Yeah. Well, it was about 25 years ago.
Oh, is that
all? You came up to, yeah, you came up and you talked to all the people that came and you had a little program going on. Yeah. Yep. So, anyway, that's what I really wanted to tell you.
Okay, great. Well, thanks, Carol. Greatly appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Yep, and now from Carol's yard, let's go over and see what's going on with Ruth. Hi, Ruth.
I couldn't have gotten it, huh?
Ruth, are you there?
Just a second.
Ruth, are you there? You're talking to somebody else.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm here. I am calling about a dogwood tree we have. It's like 12 years old, and the bottom limbs are only like 3 feet from the ground, and I'm wondering if they can be trimmed back partially, or does it have to go back to the trunk? And then I'm not going to have much of a tree left because it's only like 15 feet high.
Right. No, if you just stub them back, then, you know, that's not to the advantage of the dogwood tree at all. That's something that you're just doing. So in reality, if you want to limb, you know, any kind of branches or take any kind of branches off, you should cut them back in sections like one-third at a time with the final cut, you know, being either off the largest branch that it's growing out of or off the trunk, and the stub only being about a half inch or so.
Okay, yes, I would probably have to go back to the trunk, and then it's not going to leave much of a tree. Is that normal?
Well, it just depends upon, you know, the kind of the habit of that particular tree. So I'm not going to say that every dogwood is going to have that same circumstance, but usually, you know, people that are growing dogwoods understand that they might have some lower branches that could be troubled, but then they plant like ground covers and things like that underneath them, like ivy versus a lawn circumstance.
I see. But if I trim them back, it probably shouldn't really kill the tree, right?
No, I would go ahead and just leave them alone because the flower buds are already set, and you know what the flower bud looks like if you've had it for a couple years. And just wait until springtime and then prune them right after they finish flowering.
And you said like a third of the way back and then another third of the way back.
Right, and that way you just prevent any kind of, you know, if you make the initial cut right at the trunk where you're supposed to, sometimes the weight of the branch can tear some of the bark, and then that could lead to, you know, potentially some problems.
I see. And another question. I have a bee balm plant that I put in a pot, mm-hmm. and I don't think it bloomed at all this summer. It's only like 2 years old, and the leaves were like real milky white stuff on it.
Ooh.
And it never bloomed. Now it looks like that's going away and there's green foliage, but what do you think? That's the plant is not good anymore?
Well, it might be okay. Bee balm's pretty tough, and that powdery mildew that you're seeing on there, that green, gray or white stuff, it's just because it's too humid where it is, and it's not getting good air circulation, and it's not getting enough sun.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you for your help.
Sure, my pleasure. Mike Miller, KMY's Garden Hotline, back after these messages. Hello, Brad, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question. My neighbor is Bermuda grass, which is encroaching onto a piece of my property on the left-hand side of the driveway. In the past, I've been able to keep up with it, but 3 years ago, I had pancreatic cancer, and they took out my pancreas out. So anyhow, what's a good thing to put on there to control that Bermuda grass. I'm not ready to put Roundup on it yet.
I mean, that's going to be the most effective thing. So anything else that you use, there's products that are available, but you have to have a pesticide applicator's license to use them. So those are ones that are not going to be readily available. What you could do is just go to your favorite garden center and see what kind of herbicides they would recommend for, you know, taking care of your Bermuda situation if you don't want to use the Roundup situation.
Well, I don't want to kill everything just yet. I've used Teflon ester in the past.
Right.
And they changed the name of it. It's basically the same product. Another thing, St. Louis, I had my lawn aerated yesterday or the day before. I'm wanting to put some compost on it, some top dressing. And like I said, I'm limited to what I can do. Would St. Louis Composting have some references as people who might apply it for me? Because I'm going to need for 10,000 square feet, I'm going to need about 5 yards or 8 yards.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure they have a whole list of people that could help you out.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll give them a call.
Perfect.
All right, thanks.
Yep, good luck with your Bermuda. And
I'd like to just kill it, but, you know, I'm not going to do that this year. All right, thanks.
Well, good luck. And now let's go from Brad's over to Matt's yard. Hi, Matt.
Hello, Mike. Thanks so much for your show. It's just a pleasure to listen to you every day. I've got two questions for you, but could I just give a phone number for you? That lady who called you earlier, her name was Camillus. I'm sure she's probably still listening. The lady who's got vision issues. There's a group that might be able to help her connect with you or other people. I don't have to. It's the St. Louis Society for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And if she's listening, maybe she could write it down and give them a call and they could help her with her technology issues.
Sure. Go ahead.
So it's the St. Louis Society for the Blind, and their phone number is 314-968-9000. And I'll just say it one more time just in case she's listening. 314-968-9000. So hopefully they can help her connect with you because she sounds like a wonderful woman. So I just had two quick questions, if that's all right. One, you regularly talk about a tree service, and I want to help my parents get some trees in the backyard trimmed, but it's in a back fenced-in yard. It's kind of a tricky area, so I want to make sure I get them somebody who's really super good because there's a lot of people who come out and cut trees,
right?
But there's some people are just not really good about not dropping it on a fence or a bed of flowers or something like that.
Or a power line.
So who's the group? Yeah, or a power line or any of that, you know, a table on the patio or something. So I just want to make sure it's somebody really good because my parents are a little old and I just don't need them to have any additional stress, if you know what I mean. What's the name of the group that you often talk about on your show or maybe they advertise on your show? I just can't remember.
Yeah, it's called Timberline Tree Service.
Great, Timberline. Great. I'll give them a call. Thanks so much.
Sure.
That'll be a big help.
Right.
And then my question was, I haven't been a good yard person I don't get my fertilizer down all the time or my weed, you know, stopping stuff and all that. And sometimes I get my crabgrass preventer down too early or too late and all that. And my yard's not in horrible shape, right? It's probably better than yours over in Manchester when you grew up, where if it was green, it was good. Any recommendations on, I don't know, a schedule I could get on or a particular product that if I stick with their schedule, because you know Scott's has all this information online, or am I just best to just hire a service to come in here and they'll come in when they need to and all that?
Well, you know, the service should be able to handle your circumstance that you're talking about for sure. But as far as the best thing you could possibly do as far as staying up with it and sequencing it and the proper time frame would be to go to the Missouri Botanical Garden website and follow them there in their calendar.
I'll try that because I love them and love their new building down there. And that would be that's a great resource. Thank you very much. I didn't even think about them. I think of them for flowers and bushes and trees and things like that, but I don't think about them for lawns. So I'll check that out. Thanks so much. And thanks for your show, Mike.
Information-wise, they're very, very good.
That sounds great. Well, thanks so much.
Sure.
Have a great day.
And right. Now let's go from Matt's over to Sherry's. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I'm wondering, well, speaking of wondering, I have a wandering Jew that popped up in my yard. I didn't plant it, and I'm very grateful for it, but I don't know what to do to make sure it comes back next year. Should I cover it up? Should I cut a peak off to try to preserve it, or what should I do?
Yeah, it's not going to survive outside. So if it's a classic, it was probably a piece that was broken off by a bird or something, was going to use it for a nesting situation, and then when it was flying over, just dropped it. And that's how it ended up in your yard. But what you can do is just cut it off the stem, just right where it comes up out of the ground, bring it inside and put it in a glass of water and just let it root into the glass of water.
Okay, and then I also have lupine flowers. Now, when I cut some of them back, they died off. So should I just let them just stay up on the stalk for next year? So they'll come back, because I planted them from seed and they're perennials.
Right.
So what do I do?
So they're probably okay if they're perennials. So it's just lupins, they're a little bit iffy here, but I would say you can cut the flowers off, but that's an aesthetic thing. You don't have to do that for the overall health.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you so much, and have a great day.
Yeah, my pleasure. And now let's see, where can we get to? Let's go over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hey, good morning. I love your show. I called to talk elephant ears with you. I have had great success leaving them in the ground.
Really?
Outside. Yes. And I live up in Troy, so I'm north. You plant them on the south side of your house, and then up against the house, like I might be 2 feet off the actual house itself, so it has room to fill out. And then in the fall, once they die back, we have that one frost, and they all fall over.
Right.
Cut them off, and then when I put my mulch on top, they're in an area with rubber mulch, so I take a whole bag, I don't open it, and I put it right on top of the plant.
Wow.
And then in the spring, when they start popping up, you'll see them come out from underneath the, around the side of the bag of mulch.
Uh-huh.
Then I just cut that bag of mulch open and lay it over it, and then it just grows up through that. Now, that does whatever's left over in the ground that isn't deep enough will turn to mush. And sometimes I have to, in the spring, dig out some of that mush. But the roots that have gone deep enough, they survive and they come back.
Wow, that's great.
I love it. And I even had that work for me up in Paris, Missouri, which is quite a bit further north than here.
Oh, you're kidding.
Mm-mm. So I know you can do it. The one thing I tried and I've been unsuccessful with is my banana trees.
Oh, yeah, right.
No matter what I've tried, they don't survive.
Right.
But I understand that. They're so full of water, you know.
Right.
But you can bring those elephant ears back year after year. Now, you're going to have to feed them more because they'll be in the same spot next year and they're not going to do as well. So you got to give them more happy juice is what I call it, you know, whatever your miracle grow is, or
right.
If you're using fish oil or whatever, you know. But yeah, so they will need extra feeding in the years to come. But I've had mine out front of our house for 7 years now.
Well, that sounds great. I have some that are, on the south side, protected by a neighbor's house, so they should be okay. The ones along the street, I'll just have to see what happens with them.
Right. They might maybe 2 bags of mulch on them. Seriously, because they'll need extra. Now you're by the street, so the concrete's going to warm in the winter.
Right.
So that's kind of a good thing. But yeah, the ones on the south side of your house, you'll have a great, great chance of bringing those back next year.
Well, great.
It can be done.
Thanks, Mary. Sounds perfect.
Okay, have a great day.
Yep. Mike Miller, KMR's Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Let's go over to Chris's yard. Chris, how are you today?
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got a question. I've called in several times asking about transplanting cedar trees on my property.
Uh-huh.
And I came to the conclusion that I can dig around them, but I can't pick them up. And I've been trying to find a tree service that would come out and pick them up and move them for me or transplant them. And everybody I call says, no, we don't do that. So are you familiar or aware of anybody that might do that in the area?
Now, how big are these trees that you're moving?
Well, I'd like to ask those guys, what's the biggest tree I can move, you know, and do something reasonable.
So, I mean
if I can't get somebody, I'll do something small, but
yeah,
I was hoping to do a bigger tree.
Yeah, you might try Gamma Tree Service and see what they say.
Gamma, okay.
Right.
And I have a second question. I have an area that I'm trying to do some work in, and I have ground hornets and wasps because it's a wet area. You have any ideas on what to hit those guys with to get rid of them so I can finish the job there, or should I just wait till winter?
Yeah, I would wait till winter. That's the best thing to do.
Okay. All right, thanks.
You can use repellents, you can use killers and everything else, but why not let the weather take care of it?
Good point. Yeah. Okay. I thought that was the right conclusion. Thanks.
Right.
Have a good day.
Sure. Thanks, Chris. And now let's go over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have a peace plant that a couple weeks ago I watered it with some Miracle-Gro, and now it's been really droopy ever since, and it's got brown leaves on it. Is there any way I can save it?
Sounds like you overwatered it.
Probably.
And so basically what you did is you rotted the root system, so recovery may be a little bit iffy. I would just definitely don't water it for a considerable amount of time. The leaves that are brown are not going to get green again. It's going to have to be from new growth. New growth is going to have to come from the root system. And if the root system's totally rotted, then you're not going to get any new growth.
Oh, okay. And I did add a little, potting mix just to see if that would have helped. But I guess that wasn't the right thing to do either.
No. Once the roots are rotted, it doesn't matter what you do.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mike. Thank you for your show.
Sure, my pleasure.
And bye-bye.
Now let's go over to Joe's yard. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I've got a 24-year-old pin oak, extremely tall, and I've detected lately that I'm getting these walnut-sized nuts out in my yard. I don't know if it's coming from a pin oak or the squirrels are transporting them over here. I know what acorns look like, but this particular nut is about the size of a large walnut, just under a golf ball size, and it dries up and it splits open into quarters, and there's a nut inside. Is that being derived from the pin oak, or is that coming from some other tree?
At first, when you started describing it, I thought you were describing galls, but galls don't have nuts on the inside of them.
No, this is a nut. It's a very large, like I say, like a small golf ball, and it seems to reach a point where it dries and it splits open, and there's a seed, a large seed in there.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's being derived from the pin oak or if it's being imported here by the squirrels and they're picnicking in my yard. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's coming from from your oak tree for sure. So,
okay.
Is there any walnuts or anything around close?
Not that I know of.
Oh, really? So I would just gather a couple of them and go to the university or go to the county extension service and have them identify it for you.
Okay. All right, I'll give that a try and see if we get some identification on it. Thank you for your service, Mike.
Sure, my pleasure. And Ruth, can you do it really quickly?
The man that called in about the hornets, the only thing that will kill those things is kerosene into the ground, the ground hornets. Sure. Now, I've used it even in a cheap sprayer, if they're flying about, but it's kerosene.
Okay. All right, great.
All right.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Thanks to everybody for calling in, and enjoy the first weekend of fall. Hey, yeah. I was glad to see summer going because it was so hot a couple different days. But just keep an idea or keep in mind that the warm season weeds are still out there and they're still growing and they're producing flowers and they're producing seeds. And then these are the annual warm season weeds. And that's things like ragweed and all the kinds of grasses. Mike Miller, KMWatch Garden Hotline. See you next week.
Thank you for
calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation. You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service. Real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Hello, Brad. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question. My neighbor is Bermuda grass, which is encroaching onto a piece of my property on the left-hand side of the driveway. In the past, I've been able to keep up with it. But 3 years ago, I had pancreatic cancer, and they took out my pancreas out. So anyhow, what's a good thing to put on there to control that that Bermuda grass? I'm not ready to put Roundup on it yet.
I mean, that's going to be the most effective thing. So anything else that you use, there's products that are available, but you have to have a pesticide applicator's license to use them. So those are ones that are not going to be readily available. What you could do is just go to your favorite garden center and see what kind of herbicides they would recommend for, you know, taking care of your Bermuda situation if you don't want to use the Roundup situation.
Well, I don't want to kill everything just yet. I've used Teflon ester in the past.
Right.
And they changed the name of it. It's basically the same product. Another thing, St. Louis, I had my lawn aerated yesterday or the day before. I'm wanting to put some compost on it, some top dressing. And like I said, I'm limited to what I can do. Would St. Louis Composting have some references as people who might apply it for me? Because I'm going to need for 10,000 square feet, I'm going to need about 5 yards or 8 yards.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure they have a whole list of people that could help you out.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll give them a call.
Perfect.
All right, thanks.
Yep, good luck with your Bermuda. And
I'd like to just kill it, but you know, I'm not gonna do that this year. All right, thanks.
Well, good luck. And now let's go from Brad's over to Matt's yard. Hi, Matt.
Hello, Mike. Thanks so much for your show. It's just a pleasure to listen to you every day. I've got two questions for you, but could I just give a phone number for you? That lady who called you earlier, her name was Camillus. I'm sure she's probably still listening. The lady who's got vision issues. There's a group that might be able to help her connect with you or other people. I don't have to. It's the St. Louis Society for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And if she's listening, maybe she could write it down and give them a call and they could help her with her technology issues.
Sure. Go ahead.
So it's the St. Louis Society for the Blind, and their phone number is 314-968-9000. And I'll just say it one more time, just in case she's listening, 314-968-9000. So hopefully they can help her connect with you because she sounds like a wonderful woman. So I just had two quick questions, if that's all right. One, you regularly talk about a tree service, and I want to help my parents get some trees in the backyard trimmed, but it's in a back fenced-in yard. It's kind of a tricky area, so I want to make sure I get them somebody who's really super good, because there's a lot of people who come out and cut trees,
right?
But there's some people are just not really good about not dropping it on a fence or a bed of flowers or something like that.
Or a power line.
Who's the group? Yeah, or a power line or any of that, you know, a table on the patio or something. So I just want to make sure it's somebody really good because my parents are a little old and I just don't need them to have any additional stress, if you know what I mean. What's the name of the group that you often talk about on your show or maybe they advertise on your show? I just can't remember.
Yeah, it's called Timberline Tree Service.
Great. Timberline. Great. I'll give them a call. Thanks so much.
Sure.
That'll be a big help.
Right.
And then my question was, I haven't been a good yard person I don't get my fertilizer down all the time or my weed, you know, stopping stuff and all that. And sometimes I get my crabgrass preventer down too early or too late and all that. And my yard's not in horrible shape, right? It's probably better than yours over in Manchester when you grew up, where if it was green, it was good. Any recommendations on, I don't know, a schedule I could get on or a particular product that if I stick with their schedule, because you know Scott's has all this information online, or am I just best to just hire a service to come in here and they'll come in when they need to and all that?
Well, you know, the service should be able to handle your circumstance that you're talking about for sure. But as far as the best thing you could possibly do as far as staying up with it and sequencing it and the proper time frame would be to go to the Missouri Botanical Garden website and follow them there in their calendar.
I'll try that because I love them and love their new building down there. And that would be, that's a great resource. Thank you very much. I didn't even think about them. I think of them for flowers and bushes and trees and things like that, but I don't think about them for lawns. So I'll check that out. Thanks so much. And thanks for your show, Mike.
Information wise, they're very, very good.
That sounds great. Well, thanks so much.
Sure.
Have a great day.
And now let's go from Matt's over to Sherry's. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I'm wondering, speaking of wondering, I have a wandering Jew that popped up in my yard. I didn't plant it, and I'm very grateful for it, but I don't know what to do to make sure it comes back next year. Should I cover it up? Should I cut a piece off to try to preserve it, or what should I do?
Yeah, it's not going to survive outside. So if it's a classic, it was probably a piece that was broken off by a bird or something, was going to use it for a nesting situation, and this, when it was flying over, just dropped it. And that's how it ended up in your yard. But what you can do is just cut it off the stem, just right where it comes up out of the ground, bring it inside and put it in a glass of water and just let it root into the glass of water.
Okay. And then I also have lupine flowers. Now, when I cut some of them back, they died off. So should I just let them just stay up on the stalk for next year? They'll come back because I planted them from seed and they're perennials.
Right.
So what do I do?
So they're probably okay if they're perennials. So it's just lupins, they're a little bit iffy here, but I would say you can cut the flowers off, but that's an aesthetic thing. You don't have to do that for the overall health.
Okay. Well, thank you so much and have a great day.
Yeah, my pleasure. And now let's see, where can we get to? Let's go over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hey, good morning. I love your show. I called to talk elephant ears with you. I have had great success leaving them in the ground.
Really?
Outside. Yes. And I live up in Troy, so I'm north. You plant them on the south side of your house, and then up against the house, like I might be 2 feet off the actual house itself, so it has room to fill out. And then in the fall, once they die back, we have that one frost, and they all fall over.
Right.
Cut them off, and then when I put my mulch on top, they're in an area with rubber mulch, so I take a whole bag, I don't open it, and I put it right on top of the plant.
Wow.
And then in the spring, when they start popping up, you'll see them come out from underneath around the side of the bag of mulch.
Uh-huh.
Then I just cut that bag of mulch open and lay it over it, and then it just grows up through that. Now, that does whatever's left over in the ground that isn't deep enough will turn to mush. And sometimes I have to, in the spring, dig out some of that mush. But the roots that have gone deep enough, they survive and they come back.
Wow, that's great.
I love it. And I even had that work for me up in Paris, Missouri, which is quite a bit further north than here.
Oh, you're kidding.
So I know you can do it. The one thing I tried and I've been unsuccessful with is my banana trees.
Oh, yeah, right.
No matter what I've tried, they don't survive.
Right.
But I understand that. They're so full of water, you know.
Right.
But you can bring those elephant ears back year after year. Now, you're going to have to feed them more because they'll be in the same spot next year and they're not going to do as well. So you got to give them more happy juice is what I call it, you know, whatever your Miracle-Gro is, or if you're using fish oil or whatever, you know. But, yeah, so they will need extra feeding in the years to come. But I've had mine out front of our house for 7 years now.
Well, that sounds great. I have some that are, on the south side protected by a neighbor's house. So they should be okay. The ones along the street, I'll just have to see what happens with them.
Right. They might maybe 2 bags of mulch on them. Seriously, because they'll need extra. Now, you're by the street, so the concrete's going to warm in the winter.
Right.
So that's kind of a good thing. But, yeah, the ones on the south side of your house, you'll have a great, great chance of bringing those back next year.
Well, great.
It can be done.
Thanks, Mary. Sounds perfect.
Okay, have a great day.
Yep. Mike Miller, KMR's Garden Hotline, back after these messages.
This is the St. Louis Composting Garden Hotline with Mike Miller on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Let's go over to Chris's yard. Chris, how are you today?
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, I got a question. I've called in several times asking about transplanting cedar trees on my property.
Uh-huh.
And I came to the conclusion
that I can dig them up, dig around them, but I can't pick them up. And I've been trying to find a tree service that would come out and pick them up and move them for me or transplant them. And everybody I call says, no, we don't do that. So are you familiar or aware of anybody that might do that in the area?
Now, how big are these trees that you're moving?
Well, I'd like to ask those guys, what's the biggest tree I can move, you know, and do something reasonable.
So, I mean
if I can't get somebody, I'll do something small, but.
Yeah,
I was hoping to do a bigger tree.
Yeah, you might try Gamma Tree Service and see what they say.
Gamma, okay.
Right.
And I have a second question. I have an area that I'm trying to do some work in, and I have ground hornets and wasps because it's a wet area. You have any ideas on what to hit those guys with to get rid of them so I can finish the job there, or should I just wait till winter?
Yeah, I would wait till winter. That's the best thing to do.
Okay.
I mean, you can use repellents, you can use killers and everything else, but why not let the weather take care of it?
Good point. Yeah. Okay. I thought that was the right conclusion. Thanks.
Right.
Have a good day.
Sure. Thanks, Chris. And now let's go over to Mary's yard. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I have a peace plant that a couple weeks ago I watered it with some Miracle-Gro. And now it's been really droopy ever since, and it's got brown leaves on it. Is there any way I can save it?
Sounds like you overwatered it.
Probably.
And so basically what you did is you rotted the root system. So recovery may be a little bit iffy. I would just definitely don't water it for a considerable amount of time. The leaves that are brown are not going to get green again. It's going to have to be from new growth. New growth is going to have to come from the root system, and if the root system's totally rotted, then you're not going to get any new growth.
Oh, okay. And I did add a little, potting mix just to see if that would have helped, but I guess that wasn't the right thing to do either.
No. Once the roots are rotted, it doesn't matter what you do.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mike. Thank you for your show.
Sure, my pleasure. And now let's go over to Joe's yard. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
I've got a 24-year-old pin oak, extremely tall, and I've detected lately that I'm getting these walnut-sized nuts out in my yard. I don't know if it's coming from the pin oak or the squirrels are transporting them over here. I know what acorns look like,
right. But
this particular nut is about the size of a large walnut, just under a golf ball size, and it dries up and it splits open into quarters, and there's a nut inside. Is that being derived from the pin oak, or is that coming from some other tree?
At first, when you started describing it, I thought you were describing galls, but galls don't have nuts on the inside of them.
No, this is a nut. It's a very large, like I say, like a small golf ball, and it seems to reach a point where it dries and it splits open, and there's a seed, a large seed in there.
Hmm. I
don't know if it's being derived from the pin oak or if it's being imported here by the squirrels. And they're picnicking in my yard.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's coming from the, you know, from your oak tree for sure. So, is there any walnuts or anything around close?
Not that I know of.
Oh, really? So I would just gather a couple of them and go to the university or go to the county extension service and have them identify it for you.
Okay. All right, I'll give that a try and see if we get some identification on it. Thank you for your service, Mike.
Sure, my pleasure. And Ruth, can you do it really quickly?
Samantha called in about the hornets. The only thing that will kill those things is kerosene into the ground, you know, the ground hornets.
Sure.
Now, I've used it even in a spray, a cheap sprayer, if they're flying about, but it's kerosene.
Okay? All right, great.
All right.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Thanks to everybody for calling in. And enjoy the first weekend of fall. Hey, yeah. I was glad to see summer going because it was so hot a couple different days. But just keep in mind that the warm season weeds are still out there and they're still growing and they're producing flowers and they're producing seeds. And then these are the annual warm season weeds. And that's things like ragweed and all the kinds of grasses. Mike Miller, KMWatch Garden Hotline. See you next week.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Parties Over today on the Odyssey app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
You read labels on your food because what's in it matters. Dirty Labs brings that same thinking to your dishes. In other words, what touches your food matters too. Dirty Labs is proving that cleaning doesn't have to be so dirty. So they created a dishwasher detergent designed to deliver conventional levels of clean without the toxic chemicals or residue. Because the plates and forks your family eats from deserve the same care as the food you put on them. Fall in love, or it's free, at DirtyLabs.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.